This is Kinetic Podcasts, a podcast geared for those reaching kids for Christ. I'm your host, Josh Combs. In each episode, we aim to inspire you and equip you, and most of all, energize your kidmen. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. Well, today on Kinetic Podcast, this is a very special episode. We are actually here live in Jackson, Tennessee. Well, not live when you listen, but live right now, on site at Lighthouse Apostolic Church with Seth Hardin, the kids pastor here, who's been the kids pastor for the past 4 years. And we just wrapped up an awesome kids service last night, and today we're doing some teaching training. And so it is so good to be with Seth. Seth, thanks so much for being on the podcast, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. We're so excited that you're here, man.
Well, man, you know, I came all the way here just to do the podcast, just to interview you.
Right.
Our listeners
right.
don't know if that's true or not, yeah. So they just got to take it.
I'm super popular, so I can understand
Yeah, man. Well, man, it's so good to have you on this podcast. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, how you got into kids ministry, and your background?
Yeah. I'll start with like the kind of the end is I said I would never be a kids pastor. And so 4 years later, here I am. Yeah. No, but I got involved just because, you know, really someone asked probably about 6 years ago. We are the people who were over the kids ministry kind of saw that had a heart for kids and loved working with them and being around them, you know. And so they asked if I wanted to volunteer. And so jumped in and started helping with action songs and games and kind of whatever they needed me to do. And then, you know, 6 years later, here we are, kids pastor, and my wife helps out so much. She loves kids and has a heart for kids. So.
And you're growing the kids ministry, right, August?
Yes.
Due date?
August 29th. Thank you. Yeah, HT. That's what we've already got a name for him, HT Hardin.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. That's very cool, man, very cool. So tell us a little bit about kind of how Glow Kids works and kind of the structure of how you have because I know you guys have a pretty unique structure of how you do things, you know, so tell us a little bit about how you guys structure things here.
Yeah, so Glow Kids really is a Wednesday night function, and then any kids events outside of that is kind of falls under Glow Kids. Everything else, so Sunday school is done through basically another ministry. We have a ministry head over Sunday school, and that goes from, you know, nursery all the way to our senior saints, adult class, all that. So Glow's on Wednesday night, and we go from 7:15 to 8:30, and we usually do, that's kids' church. So we actually have, you know, action songs and games and lessons and all that. And then we do events throughout the year, like I mentioned. So like this event this weekend and Trunk of Treats, backpack giveaways, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Very cool. So our topic today, Seth, is teaching lessons that stick, you know, and anyone who's been in a kids' church setting or a Sunday school setting of teaching a class, you know, we all want to teach a lesson that sticks with kids, right? That they remember, hopefully, you know, at least the next day or the next week or maybe even years down the road, right? We all have stories, I'm sure, that have been people who have been raised in church. Man, I remember that lesson or I remember this that my Sunday school teacher did. And so tell us a little bit about kind of your process of, you know, preparing a lesson and what goes into that, your thought process behind, you know, preparing an effective lesson.
Yeah. It really, for me, and like I said, I got a few points here, you know, I'd love to go over about teaching more from the teacher perspective. So like, I'm sad to admit, I don't really have a lot of like tricks that I use, you know, in teaching. And we talked about teaching in different ages and all that. And I'm not well versed in that. Admittedly, you know, I'm not well versed in the technicality part of how to speak to a 3-year-old versus a 12-year-old and all that. And that's one area I'm growing in. So really, like, I'm kind of taking a more of like the perspective of the teacher, like what you need to be doing in the background to make lessons stick. And the first thing I have here, kind of, and to answer your question, is teaching has to be grounded in reading. It has to be grounded in reading the Bible daily. Last year, I kind of challenged myself to do the 365-day reading. You know, you finish the Bible and all that. I'm sure you do that every year and probably 4 or 5 times a year just by talking to you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You already knew it. You can just pick that up.
Yeah. But I really challenged myself to get through that. And it's amazing the lessons and the sermons that came out of that daily, committed, just determined, I've got to get through, you know, these chapters today.
Yeah.
So for me, that's where it has to start. Like, it has to start with your daily commitment to read God's word. And it sounds so simple, so simple. I know we hear it all the time, and we hear it and we just throw it in the back of our head. And, you know, yeah, I do that.
Yeah.
But if we really do it, take notes while you're reading, read a couple translations. If you like to try doing the Greek, try doing it, you know, and just it'll stick and it'll go into your spirit. And then God can speak to you about what he wants you to bring to the table for his people, you know. So that's one of the things I found most effective is just daily reading, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So kind of, you know, going into that a little bit more, you know, and like you said, you know, like when we do our personal Bible study, you know, we're going into the Greek and Strong's Concordance and really getting deep. You know, obviously, you know, we're not necessarily going to be doing that for the kids. Like, okay, right. Kids, then we know what the Greek origin of this word is. But how do you, you know, and I love that because from your, you know, just like in ministry in general is not, you know, just performing for an hour or getting in front of kids, but it's an overflow from your devotion and your lifestyle. And so, you know, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, that's where those lessons come. So how do we take some of those complex ideas that maybe we get in our personal study and break it down for our kids? How do we do that?
Yeah. The first lesson, and I did a couple seminary classes, and I just Greek kills me. Like, it's such a hard language to go through, so I chose a different route. But the first thing would be to never say, well, the Greek says.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go with that approach, you should never start with,
right.
Well, kids, the Greek says in Philippians, whenever, you know, no, don't even go that route. You don't have to say any of that. That doesn't make, you know, any difference for the kids. How to break it down and make it less complex. I mean, and this is some of the stuff you demonstrated so perfectly last night, which was getting the kids involved in the lesson. And I know we see people do this all the time, but we don't talk about it all the time. But getting a couple of them out of their seat and putting them into the stories, right? Like, that's really what a lot of narrative and history is about. Like, when we think about history or narratives in any kind of way, we put ourselves into the stories, and then that's what draws us in, you know, to whatever we read, novels or history books or theology or anything. We try to put ourselves into it. And so if you can get them bodily, get them up, and like you did this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you got them up there, and then you had three guys do the fire, and I mean, it was just incredible, you know. So if you can get them involved so they can see it and hear it at the same time, you know, I think that's really key.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So when you teach a lesson like that, are you focusing on one main central point, or is it more of like, you know, a few points, a few things? How do you approach that?
Yeah, usually, I never thought about this. Usually it's maybe 3 points.
Okay.
But I'd say it splits pretty solidly between either like, hey, here's three things I want you to take from what we talked about tonight. Or it's here's one thing. Like, if you go past, you know, three, you're going to lose almost anybody.
Yeah.
That's why whenever you hear a sermon that's like the 11 habits of a true disciple, you're just counting down the number until it's over, you know. So it's usually either one main point. Like, we just did, so our theme this weekend was Star Wars, and or that's just what we put in the background. And we did earlier this year a mini series called Star Words, and it was just a focus on a word a week. So belief, faith, sin, you know, and we did that, you know. But if we're doing, you know, other lessons that are more broad, that's when it gets into the 3 points.
Gotcha. Yeah. I like that. And I think, again, you know, as kids ministers, we can get intimidated and think, well, kids can't handle, you know, 3 points, or they can't handle a bigger idea. But it's all about how you approach that, you know. So what are some other things you have as far as, you know, that process of making that lesson stick?
Yeah. So the kind of the second thing is teaching, no matter what it is. So we kind of talked about this. My perspective of teaching, I do teaching in our main auditorium. I almost called it big church. I have a tendency to just call it big church all the time.
I like that. That's where all the big kids are.
It's all the big kids, yeah. So I teach there, and I love teaching in general. Like, just teaching is my passion. I'd love to make a career out of teaching one day. That's just what I love. So but my perspective is more from teaching in a kids' church setting, not necessarily Sunday school.
Right.
I still think it fits, though. Teaching has to be grounded in the mission of the church. Like, there has to be that constant beck and call back to whatever the mission of the church is. And whether it's a theme that year, whether it's just an overarching mission of your church,
yeah.
It has to go back to that. Has to. And you know, you might say, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how we can tie every lesson back to that. You can. It's a lot easier than you think. If you constantly, you know, will, like if you're going to dive deep into a scripture,
yeah.
And go into the nitty gritty and show the kids, like, that's really cool. And I think they can get it. I think they can understand when you break down like every word in a scripture. I think there is a way to draw them into that and get them engaged in it. If you're engaged, that's the big key. If you really care about it and you're really passionate about it, that daily reading, and it's in your spirit,
yeah,
they're going to pull with you, you know, so they can handle it. But then you as the teacher have to have like the overarching perspective or the kind of the landscape perspective. There's a famous painting where it's I don't even remember what it's called or anything, but it's a man who's looking out over a valley, and it's foggy, completely foggy, and you can see some hills, and you see a plain in the background, and you see a desert somewhere back there, and you think you can see an ocean, but that's kind of the perspective we have to have. It might not be fully clear for us, but you can have that holistic perspective. And so you can go way down into a scripture, but come back out and still tie it somehow to the mission of the church.
Yeah, I love that. What's an example of something that you've done recently where it's tied in? Because again, I know that can be, it seems like a very challenging thing to do. I mean, how do I get this big idea or mission or theme that the church is doing and break it down for my kids? So what's an example of something you've done?
Yeah, the one that comes to my mind is going to be kind of a softball one, but I'll go ahead with it. One of the star words we did was belief, okay? Our mission for this year is discipleship and finding our one person that you hang on to, and you hang with them for 365 days. And it can be anyone, literally anybody, anybody in the church that's kind of on the fringes. It can be a coworker, friend, whoever, you know. And so what I kind of did was talk about how, you know, in Star Wars, there's this belief in the Force. You never see it, you know, but it's there and it's powerful. And talked about that with the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Ghost, and how, you know, we know it's there. God's moving, but we don't always see it. But then what we kind of did is just talked about how we believe that God can help us with the one, can help us with discipleship, and can help us, you know, grow the church like we feel like he's really taken us. So, and it's a big phrase that we have here. Anytime pastor gets in the pulpit, because like I told you, let me back up again. Like I told you a few days ago, we just paid off the church. Praise God. What a miracle. 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It went from like $150,000 or so paid off, and now we've already started a down payment, you know, fund. But before the 4 weeks, pastor would get in the pulpit and say, you know, we know God is going to pay this building off. And when he said the words, I believe, the rest of the church said, I believe. Like, that was our call, you know.
Yeah.
And we'd say it three or four times if he wanted to, you know. So when we talked about belief, you tie it in right there. So, you know, when we're talking about how God can fill you with the Holy Ghost, but God's also, we believe that God can also take us into the community and we can do things that are never thought of before in Jackson. I believe, right, kids? Yeah, I believe. And, you know, they connect, gotcha, in that kind of way. Yeah. So that's kind of a softball one.
Yeah,
it fits perfectly, but that's how I did it.
Yeah, that works, because, you know, obviously you're not going to the kids necessarily and talking about, okay, guys, we're going to pay off the church building, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're like, what?
Yeah.
But you're taking that same concept of I believe, or we're in this together, we're believing that God's going to do something.
Yeah.
I know you had some awesome points. There was anything else you wanted to add to the breaking down of that lesson that stick?
Yeah, really. I mean, the rest of them, like I said, they're just more from the what you need to be doing kind of in the shadows, okay. before you can go into the pulpit or yeah. or stage, whatever it is that you do. So there are tips that you know you need to be doing. And so like one of them was, you know, it needs to be in your mind and your heart that we need to know our stuff, but we also need to feel our stuff. We need to understand that just because you know everything about a scripture, if you can't demonstrate to a child that that's in your spirit,
yeah,
you know, just the way, the inflection you use in your voice. And we know, like you've seen somebody that knows exactly what they're talking about, but you fell asleep 5 minutes in and forgot the rest of
right,
the sermon
right.
or lesson. So if you can get that deadly combination of mind and emotion, that's huge, you know. And then this is just another point. It's more a technical point, but teach the lesson to yourself first. I do that a lot. So before I do a lesson in big church, or if I do a GLOW lesson, usually I will sit and either read it over in my mind, like if I have notes, I read it over in my mind, or even read it out loud if I can.
Yeah.
And so literally, you know, there's kind of a three stages of it for me. Like you need to have lived it in some kind of way. Now, I'm not saying if you teach against sin, like, you know, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we sin and we make mistakes still. So I'm not saying, well, once you stop sinning, then you can teach about sin. That's not it. But once you have some like experiences with it, then that's something you can then go teach somebody about. And so you get the experience, you teach it to yourself, go over it, you know, make sure that you understand it,
yeah.
and then teach it to an audience. You know, I think that's kind of a big three phases I go through
okay.
when preparing.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, you know, especially like in the kids' church setting, you're going to have a lot of kids that from different age groups, right? Different learning styles. And I know our teachers that are listening, you know all about the learning styles. How do you approach, you know, you have a room full of kids, first through fifth grade. How do you make sure that your lesson is, you know, kind of hitting all the points of maybe this child is more of a visual learner, this child is more of a kinesthetic learner, this child, you know, works better with activities. How do you kind of, and again, you know, you might not be able to hit perfectly every single learning style, but how do you kind of spread that out?
Ooh, yeah, this is a big one because we've really here over the past 2 or 3 months brought in several younger kids. And so probably within a 6 month to a year period, we went from having a majority older kids, you know, 8 or 9 to 12, to having majority younger kids. And it's hit me, just being honest, it's hit me hard because I got so used to teaching to the older kids and they're real receptive to it. And the younger kids, they need kind of, like we talked about how some kids don't respond to goofy. Like if you try to yeah. really play up stuff, you know, they don't really respond to that. Well, now the younger kids do, and the small minority of older kids I have, they don't, right? So it's something I'm really working through still about so it's a question I ask myself still, how can I do it? And one of the things Abigail has challenged me to do more, because yeah, she's a teacher, you know, is just in one way, you know, and then maybe move to the others, but one way is object lessons. I know that's simple, but with object lessons, I got so used to the way I structured a service, we would do like an intro to the lesson before the big lesson. So we usually do something like where the kids come in, we do an action song, we go over rules, we do a welcome, and then after the welcome, I call them back and we do like an intro to what we're going to talk about. And that's where I would do my like object lesson type thing. And then at the end, I'd teach for 15 minutes straight. And that's a long time for the kids.
Yeah.
So that's one tip I have. I know that's really simple, but it's just incorporating back object lessons into your lesson. Something that just, like we talked about earlier, something that gets them to see what you're talking about too. That's a big one. And then I found really effective, and I've only done it a few times. I need to do it more if I can find the videos. But one night we talked about the Holy Ghost, and the guys that put together the YouTube videos, the Bible Project, I believe that's what they're called. But watching that video talk about the Holy Spirit and the lights and the animation that's in there, and talked about how the Holy Spirit fell and how it sat on everybody in the room. I mean, the kids were just like,
yeah,
like drooling watching it. Like, whoa, that's what it was like, you know. So I don't know if that helps much, but that's kind of two ways I've found, and they're both visual, more or less.
Yeah.
But one of them gets the kids like actively involved, and one of them is showing them, you know, what it may have been like.
Yeah. Have you found that, especially in that challenging setting where you have younger kids, older kids, that, you know, what's more effective? Is it more effective to kind of move from one thing to another? Is it more effective to kind of maybe stay on one thing and try to, you know, really drive a point? You know, kind of what's your approach there?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's more effective to move from one thing to another. You know, we do an action song, and then we do welcome, get them up and moving around, and then, you know, doing a game and getting them up and moving around. And then really from the second action song through the end, they're kind of sitting, you know. So I think one thing I'm going to do, not doing but thinking about doing, is doing small groups kind of at the end of our lessons, and maybe even for the lesson, breaking them apart again and letting them get in smaller groups. Yeah. and let somebody just kind of go over for 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah. what the lesson is. So I think it would be more effective to bump from different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than have just one single trend.
Yeah, and small groups are very, very effective. We use those, you know, every week. That's kind of a good wrap up. You know, logistically, it's nice because it has all the kids, you know, in a nice calm setting where they're sitting down, and that's when we have our checkout. But also, too, more importantly, it gives them a chance to have the lesson broken down to them, you know, on another level, and mm-hmm. and again, just attacking it from a different angle.
Yeah, you know, and you never know, like, the power of those sessions.
Uh-huh.
We had, I'm trying to think how I can say this. We were in, so one of the concerns our staff had when we were doing it was, like, you know, they felt apprehensive because they're like, how do we know how to explain the lesson, you know? And they do know. It's just, you know, we've never done it before, so right. It's new territory. And so I had a group, and I think we were talking about maybe Jonah. I can't remember what it was about, but exactly. But, you know, I got maybe two or three responses from my five kids that was in my group, or four kids. And then it just kind of went off the deep end. Like, did you see the new Nerf gun? Wow, Brother Seth, wasn't it so cool? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But let's talk about how Jonah was swallowed up, you know. And in the midst of all that, you know, a kid just out of nowhere. My mommy yelled at daddy last night. And you're like, oh, snap. Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, funny in a way, because I heard a kid's minister say once, yeah, I heard a kid's minister say once, like, you know, don't say anything about me behind my back, talking to the parents. Don't say anything about me behind my back, and I won't tell you what your kids say about you in kids' church. Yeah. You know,
that's the truth.
But on a much darker note, you know, it kind of like showed me, like, wow, like, it took just a small setting for a kid to feel comfortable enough to tell somebody, because I know this person. I don't think they go around saying this out loud, or this kid. And so it, like, took a smaller setting for them to just to, like, cry out, you know, because they knew they had me right in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, and to say that. And so there's a lot of power in that from different dynamics. And that's what's cool about teaching. If you're willing to kick open the door and just kind of let come may will.
Yeah.
It's powerful stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, there's going to be some kids where that's what they need, is that setting. You know, and some kids might not respond as well as other kids. But again, having those different moving parts, you know, and different things going on, whether it be the object lesson, you know, and breaking down the lesson in a certain way, and then using visuals, and then the small groups, again, just trying to hit all these different learning styles and all these. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome, man. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up, man. But before we do, anything else you want to add, man, on lessons that stick, or any encouragement you want to give to our listeners?
Yeah. I mean, I would just say, you know, as a teacher, or if you're, you know, preaching to kids more or less like I do on Wednesday nights, or, you know, whatever you're doing, never stop growing, right? I know that's another cliche thing, but the best sermons come from those who feel like they've never studied enough, you know, and they've never prepared enough. And we can't do it all on our own, and that's an issue I had for a long time. I thought I could just be smart enough, and I thought I could prepare enough and not really have to rely on God in any kind of way. But I think if we will prepare as much as we can and show the Word of God the diligence it deserves, that God will meet us and he'll open the doors that you know no man could shut, and he'll provide avenues like we just talked about where kids can talk, and it's not possible unless you're prepared as the teacher.
Yeah.
And so don't get discouraged. Keep plowing through. You know, not every lesson in sermon is you know God's gift to the world in any way, you know, but you just never know the power of a humdrum, tired from work, got to walk in and teach. I'm so tired. You never know the power of just getting up there and teaching and what it can do for a kid's life. And so keep teaching, keep prepping, and let God use you.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, Seth, thank you so much for being on the podcast, man. Yeah. Greatly appreciate it. And I know I've gotten a lot out of it, and I know there's going to be a lot of our listeners that are going to enjoy and be able to take, you know, a lot what you said today and apply it. So thank you again for being on the episode. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
And thank you to all of our listeners for listening to Kinetic Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope it inspired you. Most of all, we hope it energizes your kidmen. Until next time, God bless.